I'm stood with Brian Daly from Irish Web TV, and you have quite an impressive rig, shall we say, a standalone rig. I can count 1, 2, 3 iPhones, a 360 camera, a hefty battery pack, and a wireless audio rig with a Rode NTG2, I think, attached to a Sennheiser transmitter. That's impressive.
That's all in one, yeah. Well, basically, we started from a studio-based operation, and in the studio, we'd had 3-4 cameras, and going mobile, we felt that it was important to bring a similar type of structure, because having a camera on the guest, one on the presenter, and an overall one, it means that people's attention span is so short now, you need to switch over and back, and having a single file isn't as beneficial from a viewer's point of view.
So you can guarantee that something exciting happens every few seconds because you've got so many camera angles.
Yeah. And but in doing that, we had a good deal of research to do to make sure that we had 1080p for the cameras. The cards are 128 gig micro SD. The 360 is experimental this time because we were thinking of going a 360 route on one part of our production, and this was just an experiment to include because we had the tripod here, and this Mojocon 2017 is about 360 degree camera work as well, so I thought it included as part of the package.
You were here last year as well, weren't you? Were you here for the first year?
No, not the first year. I was here last year, and we had an interview for Irish Web TV with Len, and he looked at my Panasonic AV-CHD camera and called it a dinosaur, which, you know, I was very, very sore about. So, and coming this year, I had to make sure that we complied with the Mojocon brief. So, hence the three cameras and the 360-degree one above it. So, completely fitting in now, and there's nobody looking at me as if somebody in the zoo.
No, totally. Totally normal.
Well, as normal without being committed as one can be, you know.
Fantastic. So, you're all Android?
All Android, yeah. I have a Mac platform. I have a Mac Pro at home, which was the early stages of the video production. I had an earlier iPhone, an iPad tablet. But the flexibility, a personal view on Apple is that they want you to do it the way they want it. But on the Apple platform or on the Windows platform, you can do it the way you want to do it. And we've built our own high-spec i7 PCs for HD and all that. So, and we went with some of the leaders here with Teradek and Blackmagic and Sennheiser on the microphones and the various other. We do a lot of research online, which is a great asset.
Did you see the Android versus iPhone talk yesterday where Eric from Epic Tutorials gave a lot of kind of details as to how sometimes Android falls down, particularly when it comes to audio syncing? And
Unfortunately, I didn't see it because I was working yesterday on a project. I did look at some online, but not specifics. I'm interested in the debate because certainly from reliability, the Mac is a very important platform from reliability. I'm not just a single user. I would have technical people, audio people, video production people, and to teach them different platforms. And most of them are coming from Windows, where 95% of the time Windows is a good platform, but there's no questioning the quality and durability of the Mac.
Yeah, and yeah, pros and cons on both camps. Obviously, people sometimes just like the freedom of being able to do what you want with your technology, whether it be adding extra memory like you're having to do a lot when you're shooting a lot of filming, or battery power, for example.
Yeah, well, the battery, I sourced a 20,000 milliampere hour battery. It has three outputs plus a 12 or 9 volt output, an auxiliary output as well, because sometimes we might have to power microphones, or even sometimes routers. We do remote transmission from remote locations in Ireland, maybe a church or something, a funeral that might need to be streamed, and it's not always possible to power it. So we can power it from the battery with the 12 volt auxiliary output supply. So there's a lot of work, a lot of research, because we have a variety of different platforms, you know, the studio based one, the totally remote one in a church in rural Ireland somewhere, and then we have concerts and various other things. So you have to, in this day, you have to really match what you face. A customer can ask you for something, and you really have to match up to their expectations.
You mentioned broadcasting from churches and funerals. There's been a bit of an upsurge in live streaming from funerals for those that cannot make it, or if it's in the public interest, those who would like to see the funeral. Have you done any of that yourself, the live streaming aspect?
Oh yeah, we have live streamed quite a number of funerals and weddings also. In some sense, the church services or funerals are particularly sad in a way, in that even members of the family, I had one example where a husband could come home but the wife couldn't come home to our parent, or I think it was our mother's funeral, and the husband and children could come home, but the daughter couldn't come home. So, you know, like when you look at that side of the thing, now the funeral undertakers know that I do it, and I can be very discreet. I have all remote cameras and I have wireless cameras, wireless HDMI cameras. So it means that cause some churches can have concerns about, and some people attending services. So when you're discreet and just concentrate on the area forward, it means that a lot more churches will allow you to do it. And it's a great asset to families who are bereaved and concerned and have relatives abroad that just like to feel part of the family on the day.
Yeah, I totally agree. And having done funeral photography, mostly voluntarily, as in I wouldn't charge for the service outside of costs because funerals are already very expensive, I noticed that it was much better for me if I made sure my name was in the order of service to warn people and say, we have a documentary photographer present, please be aware this is on the family's request.
Yeah, well, the family, I'm really an outside party in a sense. The family control or dictate, I don't mean dictate in a sense, but they determine, discuss with them camera angles and likelihood, or sometimes pan into the audience. But when in Ireland particularly, they sympathise with the family members just at the end of the funeral service before the coffin goes to the graveyard. And sometimes family mightn't want that shown, or so you work closely with the people, but sometimes you have to just go follow the lead from the people, really.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah, really interesting and quite an impressive rig. What's the minimal amount of gear you will go out with to do your job?
The minimal
amount of gear. Have you been known just to work with a phone and nothing else?
Oh, just the phone, yeah. I have all the software loaded on the phone. I have live stream, Ustream. I can live stream to Facebook and to Twitter. So I have all the social media platforms on the phone. And then I have the professional microphone now for the phone. So that was one of the biggest issues, because outside, wind can be, like you're doing an audio recording now indoors, but outdoors it's a completely different thing, and sometimes a good recording can be destroyed with wind noise and all that. So it's important, you really have to take a professional approach to even something minor, because when you look at it later, or when you're streaming live and people looking at it, you want them to continue looking. You either know the difference or you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, totally agree. And fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Christian.